All right, thank you for the introduction. I'd like to recognize my co-authors, Program Associate Russ DeLong and Bobby Golden, former graduate student who's now at the LSU Ag Center. When I first took the job in soil testing at Arkansas in 2001, we decided to focus on correlation and calibration databases to justify our fertilizer recommendations because not so much in eastern Arkansas, but western Arkansas, we have had problems with high soil test phosphorus and litigation over that with a neighboring state. And we just felt like it would be important to be able to justify this in our major agricultural area, row crop area of eastern Arkansas. We've had some real success stories with this in potassium, but we haven't talked too much about phosphorus, and that's probably what you're going to learn why we haven't talked about it too much today. In Arkansas, we've used the Malic 3 soil test. We first started using it in the late 1980s, but in a modified method. In 2006, we basically changed to using the published recipe, as everyone else in the U.S. does, with analysis by ICP. And the University of Arkansas Soil Test Lab, we do well over 100,000 samples a year. So we went in, looked at our analysis from 07 and 08, and for samples that were identified for soybean and irrigated soybean and rice, which are usually grown in rotation together and represent our two largest row crops. And we find that with the categories that we have, five soil test levels defined by the concentrations of Malic 3 identified on the left-hand side, we've only got about 10% of our soils that test less than 16 parts per million, and near equal proportions of about 20% apiece that fall into each of the other soil test categories. So, you know, technically in the concept of soil fertility, we've got about 30% or so of our acreage that would be somewhat of a concern if the soil test values or levels are indeed accurate with the interpretation that accompanies the soil test level. Looking through the literature, you know, there's a lot of soil test labs in the U.S. And elsewhere, and when you start looking for published correlation calibration data across crops, it's kind of hard to come by. We did find a little bit on soybean for the Bray 1 soil test method, and basically what the literature suggests is that the critical level here runs from about 10 to the low 20s in parts per million, and typically those are for a 15 centimeter or 6-inch deep soil sample. The other thing that's important to point out is basically what Dr. Mallarino pointed out in his 03 article, and I think this is common because, again, we've had several labs in the southern U.S. switch to Malic 3 in the past 5 years, and certainly there's not recent correlation calibration data for them to develop recommendations from. So a lot of times what is done is we just correlate two soil test methods and go on about our business. And clearly, that may be a good Band-Aid type measure in the short term, but all states really need to be, have an active correlation calibration system because crop yields change. We know that soils are dynamic, and we really need to have current information, especially with the focus today on environmental nutrient management. So our objective, because we could find no information for soybean and Malic 3 phosphorus, was to correlate relative soybean yield with Malic 3 extractable P, with the overall goal of either verifying the accuracy of our current phosphorus fertilizer recommendations, or, if the need be, to develop more accurate recommendations should our current recommendations not be accurate. Because of the extremely warm summer and dry fall, we were able to incorporate our 2010 trials with phosphorus and soybean into this presentation. So the years of research that are covered here are 04 to 2010, and that comprises 40 site years, and all of this is either planted with a mid to late maturity group 4 or an early to mid maturity group 5 soybean cultivar, and all of these are irrigated. In Arkansas, we either furrow irrigate or flood irrigate our soybeans. Most of these fields are silt loams. We've only got one clay soil site. Typically, I would throw that out, but I do have it identified in the preceding slides. Most of the sites followed either rice or soybean. Again, I do have three double crop sites in here, but you know, in a perfect world, I'd like to have a separate correlation calibration for double crop, but right now I'm looking for data. So we do have a critical mass of data here to start with. All of the trials contained at least 3 rates. The majority of the trials contained 5 rates, which included an untreated check, and rates up to either 160 or 100 or 200 pounds of P2O5 per acre. All of the tests also received other nutrients such as boron and potassium as we deemed appropriate to eliminate those nutrients as potential yield limiting factors. The soil measurements we took in Arkansas in these prairie type silt loam soils, we can get a soil probe down about 4 inches before we hit a traffic pan or a hard pan that in most years you're not going to get the probe through without a 2x4 and a sledgehammer. So we really decided that it just wasn't practical to go deeper. So we have done all of our soil sampling at a 4-inch depth. In each test, we go into the unfertilized control plot of each rep, pull a composite sample from each so that we can identify the variability within the site. And from this, on the 40 site years we have, the mean Malic 3 extractable P has ranged from 3 to 107 parts per million. The pH range is 5.4 to 8.3. Most of our soils are high pH because we irrigate with groundwater that contains considerable amounts of magnesium and calcium carbonate. So typically most of these soils, probably 80% or more, have pH above 7, and organic matter ranges from 1.3 to 3.5%. All of the tests were randomized complete block designs with 5 to 7 replicates. We used analysis of variance and interpreted our data as significant at the 0.1 level. Sometimes I think maybe for this type of data we need to lower that even a bit more, but we won't go there with this particular presentation. We did use single degree of freedom contrast, comparing soybean yields that received no P against those that received phosphorus to categorize the sites as either responsive or unresponsive. And then from a cumulative standpoint, we used either quadratic or linear plateau models to correlate the meaning or determine whether there was a correlation between relative soybean yield and mean Malic 3 extractable P by site. This particular slide basically has broken down our sites in on the left-hand side, Malic 3 extractable phosphorus in 10 part per million categories up until we get to 50 parts per million. Most of our sites have had soil test phosphorus less than 40 parts per million. And this is somewhat encouraging in that we do see the concept of soil fertility expressed somewhat in the fact that when we have the lowest soil test phosphorus values, we see that we have the largest percentage or the largest frequency of significant yield increases, and the fact that in the absence of phosphorus fertilization, our check yields, expressed again as percent relative yield, are lower than they are at the higher soil test phosphorus values. What is somewhat disappointing, though, however, is that with the definition of very low and low soil test levels, we would expect at least probably 80 to 100% frequency of significant yield increases. And you can see that we're definitely below that when our soil test values are less than 10 part per million, and far below that at the 11 to 20 parts per million. The other thing here, we see that we have some sites that respond when soil test phosphorus is a little bit higher. This one site here that I have footnoted had an average of 39, but there was a very large amount of variability in the third to a half an acre of area that we were working on. Looking at the 40 sites, we again divided them into responsive and unresponsive. And for the sites that were unresponsive to phosphorus, there was only a 1 bushel difference on average between where we applied no phosphorus and the highest yielding treatment. Where we had the 10 responsive sites, there was an 8 bushel numerical difference between those sites, indicating a fairly sizable yield increase. When we look at the actual correlation plots here, with Malic 3 extractable phosphorus on the x-axis, percent relative yield on the y-axis, and the sites here that are filled symbols represent those that had a statistically significant yield increase compared to the open symbols, which were not significantly different. And you can see that our one clay site here is marked on the linear plateau plot. We are only explaining about a third of the variability in relative yield with malic III extractable phosphorus. For some people, this may be acceptable, but I really think, even though it's the best thing we've got right now, this is really far below the farmer's expectations. You know, when you tell them soil test is just not this accurate, sometimes they act a little bit surprised. When we look at the critical levels that are expressed between these two models, we see that for the quadratic, expressed at a 95% relative yield, our critical level is 22 parts per million, and the linear plateau is 23 parts per million. Those are fairly well in agreement. If we move our critical level to 90% on the quadratic, it drops it down to 9 parts per million. So clearly, I think we can see that we have some changes to make in Arkansas, as well as some improvements to make in our soil test method. So overall, we're a little bit disappointed in the fact that the Malic III extractable soil test does a fairly poor job of predicting soils where we see a significant yield increase when soil test values are low. On the flip side, Malic III extractable phosphorus does a pretty good job of identifying when our soils are above our so-called critical level of the low 20s, does a pretty good job of indicating that we do not need phosphorus at that level. So really, this research suggests that our current recommendations should be revised and that we should probably be looking either at other soil test methods or using other components of our routine soil test information to see if we can improve the predictive ability of Malic III with things such as calcium and iron, extractable iron with this method, or even pH. With that, I'd like to recognize the Arkansas Soybean Checkoff Program for funding this research and the numerous people that have participated in helping us with these plots. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Yes, sir.
Any thoughts on the depth, the sampling depth? I mean, I know there have been other works suggesting that the correlation doesn't really improve that much if you go a little bit deeper, but I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, I know, at least for potassium, researchers at Purdue had shown that the soil test phosphorus or potassium in the top 5 centimeters was actually more dynamic and changing, and indicating that that's where soybean was taking that up. We have, you know, had excellent results looking at potassium in the top 4 inches. Phosphorus, you know, typically we're stratified in Arkansas because we're using very shallow tillage. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's why we do research. Maybe we need to be taking some additional depths and comparing that in this research. Or maybe we need to go shallower because that's what some of the environmental data for water-soluble P and runoff suggest provides a better correlation as a shallower sample. So that's a good question, and it obviously needs some more research.
I guess, have you got the sample still that you could run other soil test methods? I worry about a malic on the calcareous soil.
Our soils are very weakly calcareous from the man. I mean, everything we have done suggests that we have less than 0.25% usually free calcium carbonate, so it's very low. All that's coming from our irrigation water. We just basically completed an analysis of Olson. The R-squared values for Olson were lower than the Malic III. But that's a good point. And we have saved all these samples, and we'll continue to use them and looking for a better mousetrap. All right, thank you very much.